Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 793.
Well, Kyle, do you have anything interesting on the Nerdist Community Corp?
I do. I got a cool one.
The Nerdist Community.
This is from Ben and Laisha McHugh.
Damn right it is.
Laisha is a stay-at-home mom who wanted to find ways to keep working, and she saw all of those things like Loot Crate and all the companies like that and started her own box like that, and it is called the Confetti Post, and it is party stuff in a box.
What a great
idea.
And
she, like, goes through, and it's basically, you can send this to somebody and say, like, hey, are you having a bad day? Here's everything to have yourself a party all in one box.
I really was hoping it'd just be confetti and you open it and it explodes.
I maybe went to this product because I thought it was that, and then was like, oh, this is a quality product, even if it's not a confetti cannon that you send someone in the mail.
I'm sure she puts confetti in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's
what's the... Don't put glitter, though. That shit gets everywhere. You find it behind your eyeballs like a month after you even
Please
came in contact with it.
Please send Chris Hardwick glitter to the following address.
It's like, glitter is like clown herpes.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't fucking get rid of it.
Yeah. All I could tell you because I had sex with that clown and I got both.
Aww.
Regular and clown herpes.
Oh, well, at least it was funny.
Yeah. When they pulled all those handkerchiefs out of my butt, I was pretty impressed.
All right, I think you
in
went
the
one
middle
step
of their
too far.
No, I don't think I did.
All right,
I don't
you're
think I
stick
did.
With it.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, you got to stand behind your art at some point.
How do you find
is
it?
That what that is?
You go to theconfettipost.com. And they have different sizes and options for any, you know, kind of party situation you might want. I think it's a super cool product.
I think it sounds rad, and I'm very excited for that someone thought, you know, I want to do something with my time, and this is something that I'm going to create.
She built her website. She's got all the pieces for it, like, and she's killing it. She's shown that you can be a stay-at-home
mom.
Hope
she built it on
cool
Squarespace
stuff.
Where she could get 10% off at checkout. At checkoff.
At checkoff.
10% off at checkoff. Katie.
I want to plug Joseph, who co-owns Side One Dummy Records, he hosts Complete Control Radio.
And is the nicest man in the world.
Really, yeah, one of the nicest
guys.
He has a podcast called Rad Parenting, mm-hmm. and he talks to people about being parents, and about being parents today, especially, you know, as a comedian, as someone in entertainment, or just what it's like, and it's really great. It's really, really interesting. So I think if there's anyone out there who has kids or is thinking about having kids, they would love it. You can find it at rad-parenting.com or on iTunes.
Well, I should probably listen to it because, you know, Lydia's wants me to get her all pregnant one of these days.
Nice.
Not now. We'll be married for a little bit.
No.
And then when I'm like 62.
Perfect age, right?
Yeah, that's the ideal situation.
Yeah. It's grandpa dad.
At least you don't have any old stand-up bits about how that's crazy that would come back to haunt you and your children.
Don't think I haven't thought about that as being a real danger, that I have wonky sperm
man.
Swimming around in there, just swimming in circles. That's gonna
second your kid turns 13, I'm sliding him that Comedy Death Ray compilation.
Somehow just the one lucky sperm that's got like a side rudder that just trips into the egg.
It's
and
pushing
somehow,
another sperm in a wheelbarrow. They're like a team.
Yeah, they're crushing tiny sperm cans on their sperm heads. And somehow yeah. just flounder their way.
I just imagine they all have old man wizard beards.
Yeah,
and they just sort of stumble in.
Yeah, this is gonna be. It's like they. My sperm's gonna be like the two drunken spring break douchebags who hit the jackpot at the Tropicana and then blow it all by
yeah.
Sunday. What were we talking about?
Your future children.
Oh yes. By the way. This episode is Melissa Rauch.
Ooh.
Melissa Rauch is awesome. She was in the Gersberms video, the Hard and Firm Gersberms video. And so we got to be acquaintance then. She's an incredibly talented, incredibly cool human being. And her
movie looks real funny.
The Bronze.
That
yeah.
is a great trailer.
Great trailer. She's great in it. Co-wrote the movie because she gets shit done. Be like Roush.
Yeah.
Roush.
I fully support it. As somebody who's one half of a writing team couple, I'm all for her and her husband writing that movie together. It looks really funny and they seem real cool.
Episode number 793 with Melissa Roush.
Woo!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Look at me.
Right over there.
You actually don't
literally
look like
the production office for the after show is like
no
right
way.
There. I just walked by the set. They're building it. Yeah.
I'm just. Oh my god.
You don't look like
a Real Housewife of any city. You look like a cool normal person.
I appreciate that.
Look like you got your jacket at All Saints. You have a great time with your life. Yeah.
I don't understand the 5-finger ring that says "suck it" on there, but you know, it's all in diamonds. How you been?
How are you guys? Good. It's so good to see you. Thank
good.
You
nice
so
to
much
see you, too.
Me.
Thank you for being
Hi.
Here.
Matt, how are
you?
You
guys haven't met before.
No, we haven't. She's been on, but I haven't.
Hi.
Yeah, Melissa. Well, she was on, technically was on, because we did the panel at Comic-Con a few years back.
I count it. You
and then
count
we posted
it.
That as a podcast. But then Melissa also played the Gersberms girl in our Gersberms
right.
video.
I was so excited.
That was really fun.
That's right.
It was so fun.
We got
that
to work with Swedish Chef.
Huge.
Right?
That was one of the highlights of my career. And
was it weird? Were you weirded out by its real hands?
It was.
I say it's his real hands.
Well, you know, what other types of hands would he have, Mads? Being a real chef from Sweden.
Well, you know, he could have felt hands attached to a stick.
No. That would be a
How dare you? How dare you?
It is strange when you, because it operates like a person. So when you're in the room, even when they're not shooting, he just like looks at people and he's like, hello. And then people talk to, and then you just end up talking. You just end up talking to him.
That's how the Muppets are. They're magical.
They are magical.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Have you worked with a Muppet since?
No, first and last.
Would you like to work with a Muppet again?
I would love to.
All right. Good to know.
See
I
if
would
we can
love
make
to.
That happen.
Can you make that happen?
Probably.
I'm surprised a Muppet
it
hasn't
You're
made
its.
Oh, different network. Isn't
well,
it?
Oh, ABC to CBS.
ABC
yeah.
to CBS,
Disney
yeah.
Disney doesn't
yeah,
like
we don't
the crossover.
Anymore.
All right,
it's
yeah,
it's
probably not going to happen. But
all they can do is reference it.
You know
right.
what, though?
You, right.
You do get my other favorite Muppet-like creature,
What's
Will
that?
Wheaton.
Yeah.
So that...
The Wheaton.
He's the best.
He's so good. He's the nicest human.
Do you know his beard gets its own dressing room now?
That's fantastic. You mean Anne? Yes!
No one will laugh harder at that than Will. That's the beauty of that joke. That's the beauty of that joke.
I heard your Anne beard joke. And it's true.
That's a really great Will.
We've been friends since like 91.
That's fantastic.
We grew up together.
He's a good guy.
Will Wheaton. How are you, though?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm really glad to be here.
Congratulations on your film.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're not just in this movie. You co-wrote this movie.
I did, Chris.
That sounds hard.
It was...
Oh, God.
It was definitely a rough, rough road. I mean, the writing it and the doing it was really fun and great. I mean, any independent film is obviously super hard to get made. But we wrote it, I guess, in 2013 and then held on to it. People were, they liked the script and they're like, oh, we'll do it, but we want to put another actress in the role who's not you.
What?
Yeah. There was that. That was a big discussion of, well, we could get
someone. We could get Olivia Wilde.
Yeah. I mean, I would put Olivia Wilde in anything. She's stunning and a phenomenal actress.
You are on
actress.
One of the top shows on all of television.
Well, thank you. But to have someone who's like a proven box office success to get more money for the film.
That doesn't
as
mean
you say.
Anything anymore.
I know.
People just want good stuff. They don't give a shit.
I hope that's the case. I hope so. We ended up doing it on a super small budget and found some producers, the Duplass Brothers, who are amazing. And Stephanie Langoff of the Duplass Brothers, who is... an absolutely incredible producer, and she took a chance on us, and we made it for super, super small budget in Ohio for 22 days.
We prefer
shooting.
The term budge.
Budge? Is that
budge.
That's what I should
Small
be saying?
Budge.
Small Budge. I like that.
God, the Duplass brothers are not human. They produce, I mean, it's unbelievable. There's like, there were billboards all over the city of like, they're a live action show. They're animated show.
They're TV, exactly.
20 movies on iTunes that they made in between those two things.
Well, they go home and sleep in pods like the Borg.
Yeah.
They have a collective consciousness. Mm-hmm.
The Duplass pods.
Yeah, they live in a Duplass.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Man.
Remember my beard joke?
It was a good joke. Time. It was a perfectly constructed joke. I almost feel like it was so perfect in the rhythm of it that I feel like it was...
We wrote that joke.
You wrote it, right?
We write all the podcasts.
Everything works. Everything you're saying right now was written.
There is a teleleprompter behind me. Yeah. I did.
We should have taken that
and in front of you, so you can say
that.
Oh,
yeah.
We should take all that out next time. No, we, Matt and I have just been friends for so fucking long.
It was really great.
Now, why didn't you just ask, your husband's, I assume, is a billionaire because his name is Winston.
It does sound very billionaire-ish, doesn't it? He's very distinguished.
Winston.
He owns half of Winston-Salem, South Carolina, right?
Yes.
And
no,
Winston
all of
cigarettes.
It. All of it.
He owns all of Winston cigarettes.
That he does. The Winston cigarettes are named after him. They are.
Fantastic.
They named the cigarettes after him.
They did. When they didn't know, they were like, what do we call these smokes? Let's see, Virginia Slims are taken. Marlboro,
what's
that guy?
I'm going to time travel forward to find someone who we can name these after.
Exactly. That's the guy.
How did you and Winston meet?
We met in college, freshman year of college, in a script analysis class. And we were really good friends all through college. We were both dating people who weren't right for us. I was dating a bunch of dum-dums. And then we got together right before we graduated. We were writing partners, though, all through college and really good friends.
That's nice.
It was nice.
It was bound to boil over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then sort of seeped into my 21st birthday. He told me he loved me.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, wow. And it worked out for him?
No, I was a douche.
Yeah.
I was a real
douche.
What?
I imagine you were. That's how it
What'd
always
you say?
I'm going to be honest. I ate pop brownies for the first time in my life, and I was just losing my mind when he was telling me this. His face was melting, and I'm a lightweight, and mm-hmm.
Well, he picked a bad time to drop
bad
that
time. He didn't know, in fairness to him, what was going on. He just thought, like, oh, this is a nice time, and he pulled me over, and I was like, this is what's going on. And I was having this meltdown because I don't know why I did it. I was wearing this outfit at the time that was I want to say it was when pirate shirts were in, but I don't think they were ever in. I don't think they were in. But it was like this pirate shirt, and I had like some weird crisscross belts on me. And after I made these brownies, I went down to my room in this horrible little apartment I was living in, and there was a whole party going on. And I like was having this meltdown in the mirror, like staring at myself, like, what's wrong with you, you weird pirate? Who do you think you are? You can't pull this outfit off. And I was just like beating myself up in the mirror, and then he knocked on the door. I was like, I need to talk to you. And then he told me he loved me, and I was like, what's happening? There's 10 of you.
A pirate cannot show love.
Exactly. So, yeah, and then that was June, and we didn't talk for like an entire summer because he ran off into the night. And then finally I came to my senses and realized he was the one for me. God,
well, you know, as a little bit of advice to other people who are in love with someone that they are friends with and want so much more than that. Was there anything that he did besides picking the worst moment to tell you that he loved you and then running away? What helped? Do you have any tips for people?
Let's see. What I always liked about him was that he was a very good listener, and that was something when we started just hanging out again. I'm like, he's a nice man who listens. He's nice. Nice goes a long way. Nice is underrated, and he's very nice. So I would say be nice. And then also, he was very sweet. He was writing poetry, and he wrote some very sweet poems.
God, this advice is going to lead to a lot of heartbreak.
Melissa said it would work, and it didn't work. Hey, listen, I'm nice, I write poetry.
I'm so sorry. You're so right.
I carved couplets on my chest, and it didn't work. Did you have pot brownies? Is that why this didn't work?
You're so right. I just led people to their own love demise. So I apologize.
My feeling would be
sucks.
My feeling would be
if you are in love with someone, if you think you're in love with someone, you're not always right.
Yeah.
If you think you're in love with someone and it's not reciprocated, chances are they're not the right person for you.
That's true.
Because whatever it is that you think you're seeing about them, you're not really connecting with them, or it would work the other way. You just want them for some reason.
That's true.
It worked out.
This case, it did work out. Because if we're following this advice, he did hang on for, like, I was so douchey that we would sometimes hang out. I was doing stand-up at the time, and mm-hmm. so I had one night free, and it was Monday nights that, like, well, okay, we can hang out on Monday nights just as friends. So we would just sit around and talk on Monday nights till really late at night in my apartment, and then I'd be like, bye, have a good night, and sent him home. And he said that he used to, like, talk to cab drivers, like, what the hell? I don't know how much longer. He said that he was, like, about done. And I probably,
he was never,
like,
going anywhere.
He would have been done for, like, an hour. And then, yeah, I just don't think it's a good idea that you and I hang out anymore. Because, you know, it's like we both got our own stuff. And then you'd call, like, a week later and be like, can you pick me up a latte? And he'd be like, yeah, I'll be right over.
True. He did hang on.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out. That's very nice. And it still seems to be working out since he's still your husband. And how long were you together before you got married?
We were together, let's see, what is that? We've been together 14 years and we've been married 6.
Damn!
Yeah. We've been together a while. I'm an old lady.
Nice!
Yeah.
No, you're not an old lady.
A little bit.
I want to hear about your stand-up. When, all right. Where, what city was this?
This was in New York.
Okay.
I was always, like, doing stand-up whenever I could as a kid growing up. First of all, I mean, I started just memorizing people's stand-up sets, mm-hmm. not realizing that that was just ripping people off. And then I would do them for, like, show and tell, which really was...
Would have dominated on Twitter had it been around.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Don't feel bad. I did the same thing.
Really?
Well, 'cause when you're a kid, you don't know. You start imitating, and then from there, you kind of develop your own style.
Exactly.
Who were you imitating?
I memorized a bunch of comic relief specials. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was a Whoopi Goldberg special on HBO.
I remember it.
Do you remember that? And yep. She played a bunch of different characters. Yep. And there was a line that she kept on saying in the special as a character. I forget the character's name, but she said, over here. And she was, like, pointing at her crotch. And I thought it was hilarious. And so I did it in second grade for show and tell. And I was such a weird, weird kid. I was the kid who, like, didn't talk at all and, like, stayed by myself on the playground. And then I would get up and do that. And my parents got calls from the teachers, like, this weird child of yours does not speak all day. And then she points at her crotch and drops F-bombs. My parents thought it was great.
We think, like, she might turn into a pirate.
Can't say for sure, but pretty sure that's where it's going.
So you started stand-up in New York.
So, yes. And then when I moved to New York at 18, that's when I started doing it as much as I could around the city. I was going to acting school at the time at Marymount Manhattan College. So I was really pissing my Shakespeare teachers off because I was, like, at the clubs till late at night. And then I would come in. I had a very heavy Jersey accent, too.
Boy, your stand-up career pissed off everyone. Your elementary school teachers, your acting teachers.
That's why I threw in the towel. No one wanted me to do it anymore.
At a certain point, you just...
I mean, I did it for about 10 years. And then I had moved out here and I started doing it a little bit out here. But I'd like to go back to it eventually. I just haven't done it.
I mean, you could tour the fuck out of this country now.
Oh, yeah.
Now that people know who you are, you could sell tickets and...
would be nice not to be handing it. When I was doing it in New York, I was, for a while, one of those people that would hand out flyers in Times Square to... Yeah. Do you like comedy? Come see comedy to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my deal.
They used to come to me like, do you want to see some people who have been on Comedy Central? I'd be like, I haven't been on Comedy Central. I'll see you later. I don't want to go upstairs to your shitty room.
Yeah, you face that guy.
I probably have met you.
Turn that shit around. But, you know, I think the best thing, one of the most comforting things about stand-up is that you feel less a victim of the changing moods of the entertainment business.
True.
So it does, and it's nice that you have that skill set. You could always go back if you wanted to.
Thank you. I think I would like to. And you're right. Like, at the time, because I did it 3 years, like, after I graduated college, and I was, like, doing theater in the back of laundromats and not getting hired, and stand up or, you know, just even writing for myself was always the way of, okay, well, no one's going to hire me, so,
like,
at least I can.
I get that you're making your own movies now, and that's wonderful, but, like, you got to talk to your reps about playing some theaters with this cachet you have on your television program.
That would be great. All right, let's...
I mean, I'll open for you. It's fine.
All right, how about I open for you?
Okay. No, you should match it open for you.
I mean, they'll be disappointed.
That's I work well with disappointment. That's my comfort zone.
You're going to do 10 minutes and everyone's going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then you'll come on and kill. That's what we should do.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what do you say?
I think a Roush Myra tour experience.
That sounds like a racing team. I love it.
My Roush.
No, right? Roush, what is the racing team? Roush, there is a
how dare you look at me? How do you think I would know that?
Roush, burn, Roush. Look up Roush Racing.
Make it up. It's not going to make a difference to me.
I know, but there's
got to
be one guy out there who's really into IndyCar racing.
I mean, 10 years is a lot of time to put in.
Is it Letterman? Is it Roush Letterman now? Oh, Roush Fenway. It's Roush Fenway. That's why I know it.
How could you forget Fenway?
Because it's the owners of the Red Sox own this racing team. That's why Roush is in my head.
10 years of stand-up is a good...
Yeah,
that is a considerable amount of experience on stage.
It was. I mean, I started... Towards the end, I was touring college. That was sort of my jam at the end was the college market, which was fun.
Oh, you make a shit ton of money doing that, too.
Jesus Christ, what are we doing here? We got to get you out
there. You guys, I got to go. Thank you for this career counseling.
You know what, though? You can't say anything too edgy in front of a college audience. You think college kids are going to be super cool, you know? I was like, oh, these kids watch South Park. They're probably not at all.
These kids don't watch South Park. They're in their 17th season. These kids were infants when South Park was on. They probably never caught back up with it.
You think, but they're not. There's a lot of hearing an adult swear is weird to them.
It's very true. I got lists from a lot of the colleges of words that I couldn't say at their school. Which a few of the colleges, I just read the list out loud on stage.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to say. Let's get this over with.
Were they okay with it?
I mean, sometimes there would be, the student activities booker would have a sit down with me before he would just be holding the check, sort of like waving it in front of me. I really didn't appreciate the fact that you read that list on stage.
Yoink! And then you run out the door.
Yeah, check.
And it's time to go.
Yeah.
So, but you also did UCB stuff too.
A little bit, yeah. It was more after I moved out here. A lot of my friends were. I took classes at UCB in New York, and then when I moved out here, the circle of friends I ended up making were all a part of the UCB. So I sort of started doing shows with them. Like I did the Real Housewives with a bunch
of Danielle Schneiders.
Yes. Jessica Sinclair.
Your Casey
June.
Wilsons.
Exactly.
Your Lenny Arms. It's great. It's
yeah,
great
an
group.
Amazing group of
they're
hilarious,
so,
hilarious people.
Yes, those girls are my heart.
Such ridiculous improvisers.
They're incredible. That group of girls, we have girls' nights quite a bit. They're my...
They're amazing.
Amazing.
Did you know Donna Fineglass before she became Donna Furman?
I didn't. I met Donna after the fact through Danielle.
Yeah.
Gosh, also, Hot Wives is so freaking good. Those girls are so talented. That whole group, one of them is just...
They're all amazing.
They're brilliant women.
I mean, do you see yourself... someday, listen, Big Bang could run for 20 seasons.
Let it. I would love that.
Somewhere, Chuck Lorre got an erection.
I would not somewhere. It was in his pants, where erections happen.
But where's his dick? That's the question.
That's the question. do you kind of have stuff in your back pocket where it's like, if it ever comes to a point and... You know, the show wraps and they're like, what do you want to do next, Melissa? Do you kind of like have
could
a thing?
Could they please ask me just like that?
What do you want to do?
That's exactly how I want to be asked.
It's me. I'm Johnny Hollywood, the president of Hollywood. No, I'm Johnny Cahuenga, president of Hollywood.
Johnny Cahuenga. That's my buddy Chuck Slauson.
No, that's Dave Cahuenga. He's over in Universal City. I'm the Johnny Cahuenga right here in Hollywood. That's a local
joke. Hello, I'm Susie Parham. It's nice to meet you guys.
Hey, Susie. What do you think about Melissa Roush? What's she gonna do next?
She's a real, real talent. I like that one. We'll see what she's up to when we travel down Hollywood Boulevard way.
I think it's always good. You must think about those kinds of things, don't you? Like, I'm gonna start preparing.
I don't know why we have now taken such an interest in your career, but we want to help.
It's really nice. I appreciate that.
You know why?
I will give you each 10%.
No, it's just because when
we're doing more than your agents.
Because
we're actually thinking about it.
I appreciate that.
You know, when I it's just like the pals that I have that I know are multi-talented and can do a lot of different things, sketch, improv, stand-up, acting, writing. It just there's so many options. How do you know which one to go for?
Basically, whichever one someone will let me do. I think, I hope this show runs forever, but I've always sort of used writing as – a way of, okay, this will be the next the next move. The creating of the bronze was really, it was a story that we wanted to write just as writers, and we wanted to explore this world and the idea of local celebrity. But the idea of, okay, we're going to write this specifically for me was really also at a little bit at a necessity of, all right, these aren't the roles that I'm getting, but I'm not getting the roles in film that I want, so let's create something for me.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about film and television is that, sort of like you said, you'd think, well, you're on this hit TV show, it would be so easy to get money to make a movie. And there's something about film where they kind of, film's kind of like, oh, TV, huh? We'll see. I mean, like, they doesn't really, film's not as cool to TV people as I think it should be.
I think that's true. I think
TV's not as cool to film people.
No, film's not as cool to TV people. Because the people that control film financing,
yes,
can have a person on a hit TV show. Yes. And like you said, oh, well, they're not a proven box office. Yeah, but they have a hit TV show, so people know who they are.
Right.
Well, I don't know, you know. They're kind of weird snobby about it.
It's true. And I think more film people are going to TV because there's all these great roles that are happening there. But yeah, there's still that weird, oh, well, we want to see that there's a proven history that you could actually make this money back, which I get it. It's a business. But for this role, I knew that we kept on calling it my Rocky. I'm going to Stallone this and hold on to it. I actually saw Stallone at a party over the holidays, and I'm the type at a party that will hide in a corner and just like weirdly eat a shrimp. Yeah. Like plate or some sort of shrimp cocktail by myself.
Where's
until I go
shrimp?
Home. That's I am always like you will always find me by a chilled shrimp. That is my jam.
Do you have heavy cocktail sauce or no?
Oh, I love a cocktail sauce.
I mean,
You're not
a
monster. You have to do a dip.
Yeah.
I'm not an animal. You need.
Does the scene in Beetlejuice with the shrimp cocktail hands, does that kind of make you hungry? It makes me hungry a little bit.
You see, that to me actually makes me go the other way.
Ah.
It doesn't, that really,
huge
do you like, it is a huge
It
shrimp.
Just makes
huge.
Me want to not eat shrimp hands.
Yeah.
Makes me want to just plug in some Dick Cavett and eat some shrimp.
I get that.
Yeah, really works out for
me. I totally get that. I really do get that. Yeah. So did Stallone go, hey, Bernadette, I know you from your show.
He said exactly that. No, I was sort of circling him weirdly, and then I went up to him, and he was lovely. And I told him that, you know, he had inspired us to hold on to this, and he was very, very sweet and said something like,
oh, yeah, that's great. I'm glad you do that.
That was exactly it.
Yeah.
That was exactly it. There was something like, you would have regretted it your whole life.
That's very Stallone, too.
It's but
the shots
it right.
you don't take, you regret.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And did you feel during this process...
Did he watch The Big Bang? Was he a fan of the show?
He did not say if he was. I was very taken, though.
He's CBS's core audience, let's be honest. He's 65 years old.
Yeah, I mean...
White male.
He
loves the CSIs.
You think he loves CSIs?
Oh, come on.
So he's sort of white. He kind of has a cooked turkey glaze.
he worked on that.
He does have, and he just has this air of like champion. You just smell champion.
Yeah.
He also has a neck like a sequoia tree.
I bet when he walked away, he was like, oh my God, I should have said something. I was too nervous to say anything.
No, never. He was very good. Like, he had a swarm of people around him, and he was just so nice to every single person.
Have you had an awkward encounter with a person that you went up to?
Every encounter I have with a celebrity is awkward. Especially, so I had one recently. As a kid, I met Carol Burnett, and it was a dream come true for this very weird 16-year-old. And I went up, she was doing some play on Broadway, and I wrote her this long letter about how she was my inspiration. My childhood bedroom was like filled with pictures of Carol Burnett, Meryl Streep, Gilda Radner, like the whole
nice.
Wall was just like a, you know, whole shrine to all these actresses I loved. So I wrote her this letter about how much I loved her, and after the show they let me come backstage, and I'm waiting in the green room, and all I got out was, you were good, you were really good. And she then held up, I had like a little disposable camera, and she said to me, oh, would you like a picture? And I said, I have pictures of you in my room. And she was so lovely and took a picture with me. It's framed in my parents' house.
Oh.
And so I saw her recently at the SAG Awards. I was like, I'm an adult now. I could go and have a lovely conversation with this woman. I'm going to tell her how lovely she was to me as a child. And I was like, I got this. Went up to her, did the same exact thing once again. I was like, when I was little, you took a picture with me, and I have the pictures still.
Say, you talk like that weird kid I met at that Broadway show all those years ago.
I wonder what would happen to you. It's very sweet. And then I did the same thing to Bob Newhart
when
he was on Big Bang. That was a huge, I used to listen to, you know, his comedy all the time as a kid. And I was so excited when he was guest starring in the show. And I went into he was in the green room, and we had this amazing, and I held it together so well. And as we're talking, I'm like, you're doing good. Like, this is a good conversation. And I really was holding my shit together. Can I say shit?
Yeah. I've said fuck like 9 times.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Great. So, and he was lovely. We were talking about stand-up and versus being in front of a live audience for a multi-camera sitcom and how he feeds off the audience. And it was this awesome, awesome comedy conversation with Bob Newhart. And then the conversation ended, and I knew we had to start rehearsal, and I needed to leave the room. But there was something about turning my back on Bob Newhart that felt weird. So I weirdly did this back up out of the room, like with my hands in this prayer position, and just weirdly backed out of the room. And then as I'm doing it and making dead eye contact with him, and he's watching me back up, and I just said, thank you for the laughter.
I see. I would get that way around Jimmy Burrows. Like, that's I would fucking freak out if I ever met Jimmy.
Thank you for the laughter.
Thank you for the laughter, Mr. Newhart.
I mean, there's nothing. It's hard. You know, those are the two hardest parts of an exchange like that. The intro and the dismount.
Yes.
The intro and the dismount, because it's not. You know, if you're at a party, at least you can kind of like, they're natural outs. People come up or go, okay, take care. But when it's just you,
that you have to have an ending. There's no. I kept on thinking, well, maybe, you know, someone will come in at some point. Like, and I wanted the conversation to go on forever, but I knew he wanted to, you know, settle in. And I was like, I gotta leave this man to his space. But how could you say, okay, bye, and then turn your back on Bob? You can't. He's a legend.
I think next time you should just go the other direction, have a nice conversation, then with fuck you, and then.
That's good. Just like a double middle finger and be like, I'm out.
Fuck your face.
Just something really weird. Pretend to get a phone call and just do one of his bits.
Oh, do one of his
bits.
That's a
good idea.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, he's here. Bob's here. I have to go. Oh my God, poor Bob Newhart. You know how many people must have done that to him at some point?
Totally.
He's like, yeah, I get it. The phone stammering thing. I get it.
I'm sure he's.
You'd
he's
get
a
away
lovely.
With it, though.
I don't know. He's amazing. That man, when he does table reads for our show, his timing is so phenomenal.
Incredible.
And he's great.
He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
80s. He is. Yeah. He's great.
Does it feel, I mean, you essentially have gotten the thing that a lot of young comedy performers want, which is, sitcoms are very hard to get.
Which is true love with your husband.
No!
That's right.
Great job.
That's easier than, that is easier than getting a fucking sitcom picked up.
That's true. Yeah.
Getting a sitcom picked up is one of the hardest things in the world. And I know you came on as a guest star, but then you became a member, like, you became a regular.
Yeah.
Was that kind of thing, when you came on, was that ever on the table? Like, oh, if this goes well, you could, or was it a complete shock to you?
It was a complete shock. When I came in for that, when I was at the unemployment office, like, the week that I got the audition for that show, and it was one of those weeks where I hadn't had an audition in a while, and I'm terrible at any sort of, like, business confrontation of, like, you know, calling your representation and being like, I haven't had an audition. And I did it. I like psyched myself up that week, and not to get all businessy, but I had said that. And then I had that audition, and it was one of those where you're just going in with like a million people. The producers aren't even there. And the fact that they call me back in then to meet with the producers. And I thought it was just that one episode. And then sort of towards the end of the night of the taping, I heard some rumblings of maybe we'll have her back again and she'll date Howard once or twice more. So when I was called back I think they had booked me then for 2 episodes, and I was so excited. It was right before my wedding, so which was really nice because I was really kind of depressed at the time, and the fact that I was able to go to my wedding with that way, anyone who was my parents' friends were like, "So, are you going to give this up anytime soon?"
Right.
Well, I had one job.
Fuck you.
I got one job, but then it wasn't until the next season that they brought me on as a regular. So I had like a failed pilot in that time, and And I got fired from a job. No, I was fired from a job right before I got Big Bang. Yeah. It was the Sherry Shepherd pilot on Lifetime. They hired me to play her tough Italian friend. And it was this.
You're better off.
Oh, thank you. I would have had to move back to New York.
Could you take us there now to that character?
Yes. Yeah, so that
may
character...
I speak to tough Italian lady?
It was a lot of, hey, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry. You still think the earth is flat, Sherry? You dummy.
You're going to get, you know what? Sherry, my Uncle Carl, he'll fix it up for you. It was a lot of stuff like that. And when I got the audition, I was like, I am so not right for this role. And it was like the last pilot audition of the season. It's like, I guess I should just go. And, you know, Sherry Shepherd is, she's so funny. And actually, the script was really funny. But the part I was just so not right for. And I somehow, I went in with like a brown wig and basically did a Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny impression.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And somehow I got it. And then 2 days on set, and I kept on saying, if they don't fire me, they're crazy. Because this is not the role for me. And like, I should be fired. And it was like, no, you're just nervous. It's your first sitcom. It's just nerves. I'm like, they're dummies if they don't fire me. And then I got a call. I think it was, oh, I know what it was. I saw the girl that I screen tested with come into the wardrobe room as I was leaving.
Oh.
I was like, something's going on here.
Leah Remini's schedule flurried up.
I'm out. And then they called, and Sherry was lovely, actually, and called me, and I've seen her since, and she's so cool. And she left me a message, like, I'm so sorry that this is happening, and was really great. I was severely
depressed. Has she called you
depressed.
Since and said you're welcome?
She was very nice when I went. I did The View, and she was like, "Well, glad that happened." For you. She was really cool. But
you kind of owe her.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have been available to do Big Bang.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. Sorry.
It's just crazy the way things.
It's true, because I was in a dark place after that firing. I was like, I will never get hired again. This whole town knows I'm fired from being the tough Italian girl. I think her name was Janine or something.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Janine Scarillo.
Exactly. That's it.
But I think people really need to understand that, you know, it can be difficult for young performers because, especially if they haven't gotten on something yet or they haven't had any brush with it, because they go, well, this could never happen, because they can't connect with what that feels like. So they go, well, this will never happen. But they should know that everyone feels that way.
Yeah. It's true, and it feels real bad.
Oh, I know. Coming out of it.
It's awful, because you're also, when you do this for a living, it's because you love it. I'm sure there's people who just fall into it and things happen for them, but the majority of us, I feel, are doing it because it is a passion inside of us and it makes us happy. So when you're not given the opportunity to do it, it's not only, oh, I'm out of work, how am I going to pay my rent? It's, I'm sad because I'm not doing what I love, which is why stand-up or writing was always great, because at least it reminded me of, oh, if I'm getting like slapped in the face with rejection every day, at least I have something that will remind me of why I'm doing this while I'm driving around crying in my car.
Well, and also the fact that it, you know, 10 years of a decade of stand-up and comedy and sketch and working and trying to, you know, and then it finally happens.
I'm so grateful. There's honestly not a night at Big Bang, and I say this without, and you know, I know this may sound very cheesy, but we tape on Tuesday nights, and every Tuesday night when I come out to take a bow, I get very emotional, because I'm so grateful for it. Because you know, you're always just like one job away from it going either way. And when we were writing, when we first started getting the idea for The Bronze, it actually came out of being like in between jobs. Like I was on that, it was the Best Week Ever, that VH1 show years ago. And I was really, it was one of my first TV jobs, and I was so excited about it. And I went back to this mall in New Jersey where I'm from, visiting my parents, and the manager at the Wetzel's Pretzel gave me a free pretzel because he liked the show and was so excited about it. And I was so excited, and that I was like riding high on that fucking pretzel. It was like, I was eating that, my husband was with me, and he was like, give us some extra cheese sauce too while you're at it. And we sat there eating that pretzel like we were rock stars. And then the show was canceled, and I went back, and I had this week with everyone and, you know, my parents, friends and stuff, just saying, oh, well, are you going to pick another career or something? Because they knew I was out of work. And we went back to the mall, and the same manager pretended like he didn't remember me from the last time and was like, that'll be $3, please, for that pretzel. And the pretzel just tasted like it was like it had the salt of my tears on it.
That's why that manager is having the best week ever.
Yeah, I showed her. Her show got canceled. And I was
not
like,
giving her a pretzel.
She ordered no salt, so she put her own on with tears.
This ain't a charity pretzel drive. You got to pay for your pretzel. Now that you're not working, you need to pay for this.
Pay for that pretzel. Every dime you
Mr.
have.
Mr. Wetzel was very angry. He found out through inventory that I... There is a Mr. Wetzel. Do you know that?
Is there really?
It's a Wetzel is the name, is the Wetzel's family pretzels. Name. And they decided to go into pretzels. Like...
Well, what else were they going to do?
That's a good point.
It's a good name.
Katie, find out if I'm right.
Yeah.
That could be bullshit. True?
Did you just make all of that up and we just believe
What about Aunt Annie? Is there a real Aunt Annie?
There's a Mrs. Fields, though.
There is a Mrs. Fields.
Mrs. Butterworth?
Auntie Anne, and whatever. Yeah, Annie. She's, those are better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rick Wetzel.
Rick Wetzel.
Good old Rick.
I've read up about Rick Wetzel for some reason. There's something weird about him, and I'm sure you'll find it.
Really?
Figure out why I was reading up about Rick Wetzel. There's something in there that would trigger in Matt.
Can you look up the... Can you look up Mr. Orange Julius? It's a very orange man.
Very orange.
Was it weird? Actually, I don't know what your life was like when you were growing up, obviously, because I haven't been keeping tabs on you since you were a kid, which is probably good. But was having success and money weird when it started happening? Did it create more stress in any way, or was it like, ah, finally?
It was definitely like any sort of like, I guess, celebrity that came with, I'm such a shy person in general, like that really hasn't changed much to my kids. So that sort of it was something that I never factored in. It was like the doing of it was always something that I loved, and whether I was, you know, performing in like a high school play or this, it's like the same muscle. So that part of it I love, but, and I'm not complaining about it in any way, but it definitely is the part of it that I would say I like the least, mm-hmm. I would say, or I'm not really comfortable with it. Like on a red carpet, I am probably at my most uncomfortable. I have one pose. That's all I got. And a lot of times I'll say things like, over the shoulder. And I'll just stand there with my one hand on my hip and go, nope. Because I tried it once and it looked like I was having a mini stroke. I couldn't. There is a picture of me somewhere online where I am trying to do an over the shoulder shot. And then looks like full on seizure. I don't know what I was doing.
Get your Getty image search ready.
So it's just front on all the time. And I don't move.
Listen, just to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. I have never felt comfortable on any in that type of situation. And in full disclosure, I'm very ashamed to admit this. I do go on later that night or the next day, like on the wire image, just to see what the images are, because I keep trying to make my smile better, and I feel like it never gets any better. And I see it, and I go, God damn it, I did it again! Because I'm so... It's such an unnatural...
It's so unnatural.
The people who are able to make... My fiance is amazing at making it look natural.
Yeah.
I
can't. Chris,
she's a professional model.
Well, I know, but that's a thing that I'm not.
That's a gift.
I don't know if you know this, but her eyes also smile.
That's really? It. Yeah.
I was taught.
Is that the trick?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it is for someone who knows what they're doing.
You ever watch what does she call it? Tyra Banks calls it something. America's Next Top Model. She would call it...
smize? Is that what
smize.
She...
Yeah. Smiling eyes. Smize.
Mine are more just like, what is that version, but it's petrified. Is it like...
Petrifies.
There we go.
There it is.
That's mine. Yeah. So scared.
I mean, I have stared in the mirror and tried to, because I think I approach this mathematically. I'm
learning too much about you right now.
I'm going to find the smile and then just, that's my go-to. And every time I do it,
I find that hard to believe about you. You always seem like you've got it together.
Not in a red carpet situation.
He does have a picture face. It is not his regular face.
Really?
I don't know how to have a regular face.
It's because it's not natural. Lovely. And there's
Chris,
people
you're
like saying your name.
I don't.
You
shut
have
up,
a great
man.
Smile.
Stop it. My dad always had terrible smiles in pictures, and he always hated taking pictures. He was like, oh, I can't. My smile looks dumb. And I was always like, it sure does. And then now I have the same fucking smile. And the best pictures of my dad were when he was caught off guard. Like, he just looks so natural, and he looks so, you know, and there's something, in the brain that goes like, smile, and then it just fucking
we'll
can't.
Have to surprise you and drop you into a red carpet without
That's
you
a good idea.
Have you gotten any more comfortable with it or still no? How's Winston with it?
I don't know. He doesn't love it either. We had the premiere last night of The Bronze, and I think he doesn't normally do red carpets with me, like at events and stuff. He'll be like, I will meet you on the other side. Yeah. I'm going in and getting a drink or something. But because he wrote the Bronze with me, he did that one with me and the Sundance one. I think those are the two that we've done together. He did good last night. He seemed very comfortable.
How was the premiere?
It was really fun. It was really cool. It was very surreal being there.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It was sort of an out-of-body experience. It was the first time seeing it with people that I knew. My whole cast came and some of the writers. And so it was really, really fun. And then we have the New York one next week, which is when my parents are going to see it.
They haven't seen anything of it yet?
They haven't seen any. Wow. Nothing.
Can they watch the trailer?
They have. It was funny. My parents, because there's a reference to a taint in the trailer. And when we were home for Thanksgiving, we went to it was on a movie and we saw it was on the movie the night before. And so we took my parents because they wanted it. We're like, this will be fun. My parents are super cool. So we went and we saw the trailer with them in the theater. And afterward, my mom was like, what was that word you said? Taint? Like, it's a taint. She's like, well, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that word. And my father's on his phone. Urban Dictionary says it's the area. And my father read the Urban Dictionary definition of taint. And I was like, I never heard that. So it's okay. Yeah. No, I guess I could picture what that is. And I think I might give them a glossary of terms for them to go into this movie with. There was another one that she saw a clip from the movie where I said camel toe. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what that was. So I explained that to her. And then she started using it whenever she possibly could, but she was using it incorrectly. She put on a jacket and she was like referring to it like if it was laying correctly on her arms. And she's like, is it giving my elbow camel toe? It does give a bit of a crease.
How do you explain camel toe to your mom?
I said it was a front wedgie.
Yeah.
Where it created a line that looks like a camel toe. And her face was like, oh, I never heard that term. That's very clever. That's very clever.
That's very clever.
Yeah. They're so awesome. There's a big sex scene in the movie.
Was your mother like really good friends with Meadow Soprano? Like, I feel like she's like...
Yes, that is pretty much how my mother... She's got like my mother has like this high-pitched Jersey accent, and she's... Everything is... Oh, that's wonderful. She's so... She's such a positive woman, and when I called her from Sundance, I was very worried that because a lot of the news that was coming from Sundance was about the sex scene for the movie, and I didn't really warn them about it. For some reason, I wasn't thinking, oh, there'll be a lot of press on that scene in particular. So I called her, and both my parents got on the phone. I was like, I'm so sorry, guys. I know they read everything. They're not like over proud or anything, but they're parents, and so they read everything. They were watching every interview, and they said, I said to them, I'm so sorry, guys. I know that you're just reading so much about this sex scene, and I promise there's it's not just porn. Like, there is a movie here. And my mom's like, this is great. Sex sells. She was stoked. So, but I do want to, like, put a GoPro on the seat in front of them while they're watching the movie. Yeah. It would be kind of great.
Actually, I think that would be a good viral marketing campaign for the movie.
Also, I got to say, that'd be a fun picture-in-picture on the DVD.
You're right. You're
Mom watch the movie while you watch the movie.
That's great. All right, I'm going to work on this. Yeah, all right, you guys are putting me on the road.
Yeah,
we got you on the road.
We can
make you $1 million in live dates.
That would be
dates.
The best DVD feature ever.
You're right. We need to do it. We need to do it.
Amazing.
But if there's just the one sex, so the rest of it, they might... It would just be just like them normally watching.
Which is, I think that's part of the joy of
it. It's kind
of
great. I mean, there is a lot, there's a lot of profanity throughout. I masturbate in the movie. So there's that, which, you know.
Come on.
So there's a few choice moments.
Oh, that's how you do that.
Yeah. David, what is she doing?
Oh, I saw you touching your camel toe. Well, I mean.
Not exactly.
I don't know. What was your taint then? Okay, you need to stop.
You were definitely rubbing one out on your taint.
I mean, if you just did that, you could just do that and you could make $1 million doing stand-up. You could just do stuff about your parents.
They are a gold mine. My parents say things. I had tweeted this a while back because my mother, she uses expressions that she doesn't know are that she doesn't know certain expressions mean a certain thing. Both my parents have been using the term circle jerk. Like, they'll say things like, my mom will say, oh, I went to the Jiffy Lube. They took my car, and then it was just a real circle jerk. They had me waiting there for hours. Or my father will say things like, oh, you know, I had to return. The sour cream was spoiled, so I returned to the supermarket, and they sent me to 3 different aisles. It was a real circle jerk.
It's not completely incorrect.
But they had no idea, and I tweeted that my mom just did just that she was saying it incorrectly. And I guess one of her friends told her that I was saying that, and then they love the Urban Dictionary. So she then wrote me and said, I just looked up what circle jerk means. I'm horrified. I'm going to stop using it. But now she's in on the joke, and now she'll just drop it just to get a rise out of me.
But what if your dad was like, no, that's what I meant about the supermarket. That's what the sour cream was. Why don't you people listen to me?
They said this will even out that sour taste.
Anyway,
they call it creme fraiche. Have you heard of this?
I think it's really great to have support. I mean, I had supportive parents too, and I always think I love meeting people who had supportive parents because it sort of dispels the myth of like, you gotta be tortured, right, and you have to grow up in a toxic environment to be a performer, because that's why
it's like, true.
It's not entirely true.
It's true. Yeah, they're pretty awesome. They're great. I remember like that first laugh I got from my dad, and that was, that memory is so vivid because I could pinpoint that moment of being like, that feels so good. We were watching Three's Company, and I started doing a Don Knotts imitation, and my father, and he's not like a very smiley person. He always sort of does this half smile, like it's sort of paining him to smile, and he started laughing, and I had never heard that laugh, and I was so excited, and he had told me to go to bed, and it sort of was my procrastination not to go to bed, and then it started like every night I would just imitate what was on TV, and getting that, and it wasn't like they didn't give me love otherwise, but getting that approval through laughter was just so huge. Is my jacket making a lot of noise, guys?
No,
I'm really sorry.
Okay. If I mean, honestly, if I had a little daughter and she started doing a Don Knotts impersonation, I would give that kid anything she wanted. Whatever you want. Take the house. We'll move out. It's all yours.
I'm okay, Dad. Mom's a billionaire.
All right. What was the Don Knotts impersonation? Do you remember
It wasn't really good. It was a lot of like, I did that a lot. It could have been Don Knotts like snorting cocaine because it was a lot of that, like lifting up my pants.
Where'd they shoot Paramount?
Is that where they shot?
I'm trying to think of where. Forget
it. It is kind of interesting that's where you got your first laugh, and then you went on to be on a show is arguably like the Three's Company of today.
Well, it was the only thing keeping three-camera multicam comedy alive for a while there.
Big Bang?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, and Big Bang also like really helped TBS. The Big Bang reruns on TBS were bigger than anything else they had.
It's crazy. I can't wrap my brain around what that showed up. I mean, I came into it as an already well-oiled machine, so I just get to ride on what they were doing without me.
I mean, yes, but you're also a contributor. You wouldn't be a regular on the show.
Thank you.
If you didn't offer something special.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That
voice to talk. I can't just compliment a person normally. I gotta talk like this for some reason.
I'm very comfortable getting complimented like that.
Listen. You need to go out there and do your stand-ups.
That's a fantastic Myers.
I can do that for maybe 3 minutes and then I start choking and coughing. Do you like do you ever see yourself wanting, because it feels like you like to play characters that have like a good hook, like a really strong hook.
Yeah.
Are you challenged by, or do you envision playing like just a normal human?
I definitely would like to. I think, you know, sometimes the voice is sort of my way into a character. It was that way for Bernadette on Big Bang. And then even the character that I play in The Bronze, it's a very specific tone to her voice. And she's got this accent and everything's sort of very controlled and clenched. So you oftentimes will use that as my way in. But yeah, I would love to just play a normal human. But at the same time, I say that, but I also don't like those servicing roles for women where you're just the the wife to the guy who's doing all the interesting stuff. So I say that with, yeah, I'd like to play someone who's maybe, I guess, speaks normally, but I like the complexities of characters with layers.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you see a lot of those types of roles coming in and then going, no, I'm not going to do this. This is dumb. I don't want to do this.
I think it's not like I'm turning down things left and right by any means. That really was writing scripts for myself out of necessity, really, because I wasn't getting those roles. But I do see a lot of scripts that I do read are the female parts are very servicing, and I'll read and be like, I love all the guy parts. Is there any way that they'd be open to a girl playing any of those roles? And I think there's sort of swing. It's starting to swing in the other direction. There's this year alone, there's been awesome roles for women that are complex and interesting. And but I think it's something that we kind of hit up against with the movie was the idea that the character I play in the movie is pretty unlikable, and she's a bit of a tough pill to swallow, and she's definitely an anti-hero. And I think there's a little bit of hesitation with showing unlikable women.
It's swinging. I worked on two pilots that are getting shot this year that we flipped the gender.
Really?
In the process.
That makes me so happy. Yeah. That's great. I do think that it's swinging a lot. If you think like just the movies out this year alone, like so many of the performances from women have been just crazy, yeah, unapologetic characters.
But the cool thing is that since you're also a writer, mm-hmm, you can create those roles. You can create the roles that you want to exist.
Yeah.
And when they start catching on, that actually makes a significant change. Or, you know, it...
If you could only get a hold of your old writing part.
It dramatically affects, like, there's going to be some other little girl who was your age sitting on the couch with her dad, and she's going to see your movie, and she's going to go, oh, my God, I can be that, you know, like... That really does have such a profound effect.
Thank you.
So I think it is important, I'm sure as frustrating as it can be, to just keep making it happen in spite of some of the shitty stuff that you read.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. The fact that we were able to get this made and the fact that it's coming out in theaters, at one point we're like, well, we'll write the script. We're really excited about it. If we have to just make it ourselves and maybe get a DVD of it and show it at my parents' house, That'll be it. I'll get some footage from our reel. So the fact that it's coming out in theaters is sort of beyond our wildest dreams. We're really excited.
And what is the release date of The Bronze?
The release date, thank you for asking, it's March 18th. So it's a week from Friday, nationwide.
Nice.
Thanks.
Oh,
thanks.
My God. Are you nervous about it?
I am. I'm excited. Last night I was really nervous going into the premiere. Like I said, it was just the first time seeing it with people I know, and... But it was really great, and the laughter from the audience put me at ease, and so I'm really pumped. I'm excited for people to see it, but of course there's definitely that, oh well, I hope people actually go to see it.
It's tough to get people to leave their houses to do anything anymore.
No, it's fine. You just put a cape on someone. You're good to go.
That's all you gotta do.
You cape?
You just do cape.
Do you have a cape on in the movie at all?
I don't.
She might. She might. She might go see it. Find out.
I may very well have a cape.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun to
be two capes. Who knows?
Do you do voiceover stuff? Do you do a lot of voiceover stuff?
I do. I just did.
We'd like to get you into more of that, though.
Please,
Matt and I. Yeah.
You guys have such a plan for me. Yeah.
We really do.
You really do have. You're thinking big picture. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's really great.
We started the podcast 6 years ago. We started a plan that led to this day. So we have.
We actually were just charts. We probably could have just called you to be your representation then, but we thought we'd build this.
We wanted
I really
to be sure
appreciate
get to this.
This
point where we can.
Thank
say,
you.
Let's get you.
It's out very impressive.
I mean, I'm just here to get you off that Radford lot.
I said, Matt. I know. You know. Melissa has come a long way since that pot brownie. One of these days, she's going to write a movie, and when she does, we're going to have her on the podcast, and we need to be ready. Success is preparation meeting opportunity.
Actually, behind each of these is part of our presentation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, of course, we first want to go with your stand-up.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
We want to build that. We want to get you
out
on the road. You could kill. You go to Vegas. They have this latest comedy at the Venetian. It's called Lipstick Comedy. Lipstick. Not my favorite name, but whatever. We get you in there. Whitney Cummings doesn't have to do every weekend.
Wait, Matt. Matt. Yeah. Matt, I don't like this presentation anymore.
Why?
I'll tell you exactly why.
Why?
Because in this improv sketch we're doing right now, straight female character, two guys doing all the crazy shit.
Shit, man. That's
and
so
that's
meta.
Exactly the point we're trying to prove.
Yeah.
You need to get out there and be the crazy one.
So, number one, we're dicks. Number two, fuck us in the face.
Yeah.
Number three, we could go straight to hell.
Number four, put a GoPro in front of your mom when she's watching the movie.
Done and done.
So what's next after the bronze and after more Big Bang that hopefully
we'll
run
forever? And all the stuff we have for you. What's next after that?
After you guys put me on the road, I don't... Well, are you guys going to work me to the bone? Like, what kind of... Are we talking, like, Ike and Tina style?
Just 40, 45 weekends a year. Nothing too crazy.
We are talking Ike and Tina, but you're Ike.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I do love What's Love Got to Do with It. When he puts her on the road, he's like, you're going to San Antone next. That's what I want you guys to say to me. I want you to go, next up, San Antone, bitch.
I don't think you want to tell a dude to ever emulate Ike Turner in any way.
No?
No.
I guess you're right.
We just had Angela Bassett on the podcast.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
She was great.
She's so good.
You know what our plan
Her performance in that movie.
Why do we keep telling people what to do with their careers? We tried to push her into taking a role of being a captain on the new Star Trek series.
And what'd she say?
She's into it.
That's fantastic. Hold on, guys.
Yeah.
What?
Hold.
What's up?
This is not okay.
What?
You never said that you were taking on other clients. This is no, not
we're
cool.
We're your big picture. We're helping you mostly.
Why are you racist?
Oh, interesting.
Not okay. But I just... If you...
Hang on. Chris, she's right.
She's right.
Here's the thing. I want to know that I have your undivided attention. If I am going to...
You have it.
But no, you're pitching Angela
it's
Bassett.
It's undivided.
It's a little bit divided.
One of us will have 100% of your attention.
Melissa, Missy, Angie she's pretty self-sufficient at this point.
Yeah.
She doesn't need us in any way.
Okay.
We want to be needed.
Okay. All right. I don't know. This might be a bill of goods. Can I talk to Angie? Can I discuss this with her?
Sally Field was on a couple of days ago.
Oh, who?
What?
Hang on.
This is not.
Right, though. When she was on.
Was she really on?
Yeah.
She was. I love her. Love her.
We do too.
She's amazing. We just let her tell us what to do.
Yeah.
She was.
What a dream.
This is a job.
Who have you met? Who is still in your bucket list of people to meet? And be awkward to.
Let's see. Who would I be? Both those women you just mentioned, mm-hmm. Sally Field, Angela Bassett. I feel like I would make some inappropriate. What's Love Got to Do with It?
She'd love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so good in that movie. She's so good in everything. I am Meryl Streep. I know it sounds, probably most people give that answer, but God, she's amazing.
There's a reason they give the answer, because she is.
She's amazing.
Meryl Streep.
Thank you for the tears.
Thank you for the emotion, for playing, seeing so real.
Meryl Streep. Oh, we got to wrap. You have a hard out at 7. It's 7:02.
Oh.
We fucked up.
You know what, guys? I don't think this is going to work out.
You're firing us?
Already?
I didn't hire you to begin with. In fairness, I had a manager early on tell me that he would hip pocket me. He didn't want to fully take me on.
So that just means if you get a job, he'll take money
exactly.
for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So he was like, would you be up for me hip pocketing you? And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what that meant. And then so I had to ask around town, is that a good thing? Should I let
what
him hip pocket me?
You just wanted to put you in this suit.
You're really tiny.
My manager and agent have done so much for me lately that they asked me today what my address was. And the address they had was from 5 years ago.
No.
So there you go.
5 years
ago. No. Yeah.
I want to thank you for firing us. You're a strong female character. We deserve this.
I appreciate it. You know what, guys? I'm going to consider it.
Thank you.
I'm going to hip pocket both of you.
We need this. Please.
I'm on board.
Well.
You know what, guys? I am on board.
Okay.
Great.
I am ready for this.
We're going to work this up.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on, and I'm also so excited for you. It was so nice of you to come.
You came
and did that video with us a few years ago for no money. You gave us a whole day, and it was so – we didn't really know each other, but you were so nice to me.
I had so much fun. And I was such a fan of yours.
And it's just like you meet people and you root for them, and you're some of the I root for, and I'm so glad that – I hope this movie – regardless of how the movie does, I just hope you keep writing good, fun, interesting characters. And if you want to do stand-up, you could come to Meltdown. It's a great place to come try stand-up.
I would love that.
It's a safe environment, and you could just fuck around with it.
He means because he couldn't make eye contact through most of that.
Yeah.
That's how you tell. That's how you know if Harvick means
you.
Something.
It's
really? Like, I never knew that about myself.
Oh, I know that about yourself.
See, I was looking you in the eye, so that means I must have known that about myself. Oh,
I know.
Aw, man.
You guys are awesome.
Melissa Rausch.
I don't want to go.
Is it just Melissa Rausch on Twitter?
It is. It is just at Melissa Rausch on Twitter and then the Melissa Rausch on Instagram.
Rausch.
Rausch. That's
Rausch.
It.
Rausch Fenway Racing.
Rausch.
Send us some
Rausch
jackets.
Fenway.
Send us some cool reflective
jackets. Yeah, I want a jacket. March 18th.
Melissa Rausch, also on Big Bang Theory and on Twitter. And soon in your local grocery store. Coming home with a story about the circle jerk that she went through to return
that's
that
exactly
sour cream.
Right.
Guys, I have to go. The WGA is telling me to protect my overscale compensation. I don't know what that means.
All right. Well,
all right. Thank you guys so much.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus. Explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.